Well, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be in worship with you today and great to celebrate this time of the year with you. This time last year, we were not with each other like this. We were not together, and the fact that we get a chance to be together in a setting like this in worship, the worship gathering, but then looking forward to Christmas Eve together, that puts a smile on my face, and I cannot wait until we get a chance to worship on Christmas Eve together in person. I would think that there would be a few more applause than that, but that's okay. It's okay. Yeah. So let me ask a question to kind of get us rolling. When you're sick, what changes about your attitude and personality?
Everything.
Everything. All right. Thank you. Everything. What? So how does your personality and attitude change when you're sick?
Lack of patience.
Lack of patience. Okay. Yep. What's that?
Whiny.
Whiny. Okay.
Nasty.
What's nasty? Okay, whoa, Al, okay, whoa. All right, Al gets nasty, okay, what else?
Discouraged.
Discouraged, what else?
Grumpy.
Grumpy, what else?
Tired.
Weak, yeah, tired. Yeah, these are realities for everyone who's ever been sick in some way. If you have the flu, or if you have a chronic illness, or whether knee pain, neck pain, back pain, there's something about when that is inflamed and when it actually gets a little worse, where it affects us personally. It affects our personalities. It affects our attitude. I can let you know, and you can call Tanya now. Give you the number, and you call her and ask her, what is Marvin like when he is sick? And she will tell you, like, do not be around him. Do not, like, he is grumpy. This week I was battling something. You can still hear the nasaliness in my talking. And she's babysitting a kid who, when the parents can't take the kid to daycare, they bring the kid over to our house. He's the cutest kid in all of the world, but he had some sort of virus or something. And you know, kids, they have all kinds of germs. And so I'm thinking, hey, I got both of my COVID shots. I got the flu shot. I'm invincible. Not so. That kid had something that broke through everything, and it just caused me to be all kinds of grumpy. And I know that is probably true of you as well. But one of the things I want to remind us of is even when we are sick, battling all kinds of issues, is that we have a Savior who actually wants to see us well.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now, he wants to see us well, not just for our physical comfort. There's something greater he wants to give us. There's something greater he wants to give us than physical healing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What is it the more that God wants to give us when he actually physically heals us? So we're going to take a look at two stories back to back in the Gospel of John. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to look at the latter part of John 4. John 4, starting at verse 46. For those of you who are new to Trinity, or you are just tuning in, we've been walking through the Gospel of John because we want to believe, and not only believe, but to have life in the name of Jesus. Believe in the name of Jesus and have life in his name. So John 4, starting at verse number 46. This is what it says. So he came again to Cana, That is, Jesus came to Cana in Galilee. This is the second time he's there. The first time he turned the water to wine. Again, that's what the text says, where he had made the water wine. So he's back in Cana, and at Capernaum, there was an official or a political official whose son was ill. So Capernaum is about 14 miles from where Jesus is, Cana of Galilee. And there's this man who is desperate because his son is sick. We don't know what the illness is. John just tells us that he's sick. Verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had come to Judea of Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So this man, this nobleman, this political official, probably has never experienced a level of desperation in his life, and yet his son falls ill, and as his son is ill, he is now desperate and urgent. There's an urgency about him. So he hears that Jesus is nearby, 14 miles away. So the man makes the 14-mile journey because he is desperate, and this is an urgent situation. He doesn't send servants. He doesn't send his brother. He doesn't send his cousin. He goes himself to actually face Jesus, to tell Jesus, hey, my son is sick, and I need you to come and rescue him. Now, the word ask in the passage is in the present tense in the Greek. The man kept asking and kept asking and kept asking. He expresses his desperation by consistently asking the one who can actually help him. And so he asks and keeps asking. And then he says, hey, why don't you come the 14 miles? I've walked to you. Now, will you walk back with me so that you can, in this man's mind, lay your hand on my son so he can get better? Now, you would think that Jesus would be a little bit more compassionate, but yet Jesus responds, hey, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, what Jesus is doing here is he's not rebuking the man. He's actually lamenting and saying, man, I wish that people would just simply believe without seeing signs. But I know that people won't believe unless they see signs. So what Jesus does, he connects the spiritual with the physical. So he says, I will show you physical signs, but those physical signs are designed to lead you to spiritual transformation. You see, physical signs are not there just for us to hoard them. They point to something greater. This is what Jesus is trying to tell this man. But this man is so desperate, he cannot hear spiritual truth because he's in pain. Listen to what the man says. The official said, yeah. That's kind of what he's saying. Sir, come down before my child dies. He didn't hear a word Jesus said about the spiritual and the signs and connect. He didn't hear any of that. Why? Because his son, he was desperate. His son was on the verge of death. And that's just like us. Jesus is trying to, sometimes the physical pain is designed to awaken something in us to see that there's something more that God wants to give us. And yet we say, I'll listen to the spiritual stuff later. Hey, can you just relieve the pain? Hey, can you just take care of the stuff that I'm going through right now? And we can talk about the spiritual stuff a little bit later. I'll be in church every Sunday if you take away the pain. If you give me this job, guess what? I'll give you a tenth of my earning every time I get paid. If you just do this for me, I will do this for you. You know, is that kind of the way it works? And we make these promises, And once God takes the pain away, we don't show up and we don't keep our end of the bargain. And yet this man is just saying, hey, listen, I just need you to take the pain away. And Jesus does something that I just think is pretty amazing. And the man does something that I think is pretty amazing. Jesus said to him, five words, go, your son will live. Go, your son will live. Like, don't you have to come the 14 miles to lay your hands on my son? Don't you have to use some sort of incantation so that my son can live? No, Jesus just simply said, go, your son will live. This is the power of the healing word of Jesus. You don't have to be in the same room. You don't have to have someone lay hands on you, even though the Bible says that elders do that. But I want you to know that whether an elder is present or not, whether a deacon is present or not, whether a prayer team member is present or not, Jesus can speak the word and heal whatever you're dealing with. And if I was in a Baptist church, somebody would have been shouting right there, because some of you have prayed and had others to pray for you. They weren't there, and God did something.
Yeah, amen.
And so, Hallelujah. So Jesus says, go, your son will live. Notice what happens. This man goes from crisis faith. You know what crisis faith is? Crisis faith is, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need your help. Get me out. And now he goes to confident faith. Look at what go, your son will live. The man believed. He believed the word Jesus spoke, and he went on his way. So he moved from crisis faith, Lord, I'm in trouble, I need your help, to now I am walking in your word. Based on what you said, I will believe. And this man believed. Something that Jesus said awakened belief in him. You see, desperation awakens crisis faith. It is the words of Jesus that awakens confident faith. Amen. So I need to say this, that you and I cannot have confident faith apart from the word of God. It is the word of God, it is the stories of his power that awakens something in us to actually believe that what Jesus did on the pages of the New Testament, he can do again in 2021.
Yeah. Amen.
But if you're not reading the word,
yeah. You
won't even know that Jesus has done those kinds of things
right. And
is willing to do it again. So he goes down, and the man goes down, and he goes on his way. Verse 51, as he was going down, his servants met him. Now, the interesting thing is he went on his way. More than likely, he stayed at a Holiday Inn or something like that on the way. I mean, technically, because it was later, and so it was dangerous to walk. So to show you how confident this man's faith was in what Jesus said, he actually took his time going home. Desperation and love would say, I'm getting home no matter what to see what's happening to my son. Confident faith says, I'm going to take my time because I believe what Jesus said. I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to trust every step of the way. And so the next day, the man gets up, and as he was going down back home to Capernaum, his servants met him. So he's going one way, the servants coming the other way, and told him that his son was recovering. So if Jesus was just concerned with the physical, the man would not have asked the next question. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And he said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, which is 1 o'clock, that's when the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said, your son will live. So if the man was just interested in the physical healing, he would have just taken the physical healing and say, wow, my son is better. We can now go on and we can live our lives. But the man is curious. He is curious about this man, Jesus, and he began to investigate. He began to ask questions. He began to put the pieces together that when Jesus said what he said at 1 o'clock the day before, and now the man said, that's when your son began to get better, that's when the man realized that there was something special about Jesus. And he says, and he himself believed and all his household. All of his household. So Jesus, this man recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He recognizes that Jesus is Lord over time and over space and over sickness. And at this point, this man says, I am going to place all of my weight, not just mental ascent, I am going to place all of my weight on Jesus as Messiah, and not only him, but his entire household believed. So his faith started off as crisis faith, it moved to confident faith, and now it's contagious faith. And this physical healing pointed to something more. And the something more was the spiritual transformation of a man, his son, and his entire family. His entire family believed. You see, this man, Jesus wanted this man to see and his son to see that behind the physical healing is the desire for spiritual transformation. It's the desire for something more. You say, Marvin, is Jesus all that Jesus is interested in? Is me believing in him? And I'm in pain. And I'm saying, yeah, Jesus does care about your pain. He cares about the chronic nature of the pain you've gone through. He cares about the number of sick days you've called in because you just simply couldn't go to work. He cares about the back pain, the lower back pain you've had where you drive for 10 minutes and it's hard for you to get out of the car. He understands the leg and the knee pain that you've gone through. He understands that the diagnosis of cancer that just came in. He understands the diabetes, the dialysis that you've been dealing with because of kidney. He understands that, but he says there's something more at stake. And it's the second story that tells us the more that's at stake. So chapter five, John puts these two stories together. John didn't write necessarily chronologically, so he put these two stories together to help us to understand a point that Jesus is trying to make. And these two stories help us with that. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, probably the Passover. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which means house of mercy. When we've gone to Israel, we've been there, and we've seen that particular pool, which has 5 roofed colonnades. And these lay a multitude of invalids. And John says there's all kind of invalids there, blind and lame and paralyzed. And then he says, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. So John doesn't give this man a name. He just says that this man has been there 38 years. Now, the interesting thing about 38 years, it's very important for us to get that, is because the average lifespan of a Jewish person during that time was 38 years. So what John is trying to get us to understand, he's trying to contrast these two. You have a young boy who is sick, and is about to die, and you have a man who's been lame an entire lifetime. One whole life. He's been lame and experiencing hopelessness and suffering and marginalization. John wants us to feel this man's pain. And not only does he want us to feel his pain, he shows us that Jesus feels his pain. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time. So John says Jesus saw him and he knew. So I want you to know that just as Jesus saw this man who was lame for 38 years, he sees you. He sees you when you're lying on your back and can't move. He sees you when you're afraid to go to the doctor and you're afraid of the diagnosis. He sees the years that you've been battling and dealing with the trauma, the post-trauma stress that you've gone through. He sees that you're frustrated and you're ready to be done with this sickness. He even sees that you've contemplated, you know, this is the easier way to just end it all right now so I don't have to deal with this pain. He sees the feelings, he sees the hopelessness. Not only does he see it, John says he knew that he had been in that case a long time. So Jesus sees and knows. And maybe that was just for you today, that he sees you. You know, when we're ill and when we're sick, it feels like we're unseen. Unseen by God and unseen by so many others. That nobody can understand the pain that I'm going through, that nobody understands. And rightfully so, maybe no one can fully grasp the fear and all the things you're going through. Maybe nobody can fully grasp that. And so I get that, I understand it, but I want you to understand and hear that Jesus sees and he knows. But then Jesus does something that makes us think that he doesn't really know. He says, look at this question. Do you want to be healed? That's kind of like the duh question of the century, right? Like, why do you think I'm here? Why do you think I'm at the pool? Now, it was rumored during this time that an angel went down and stirred the water, and whoever stepped in the water first, they were healed of whatever ailment they had. That was a rumor. That was a superstition that more than likely God did not, that God was not necessarily in it. Something stirred the water. We don't know what. But, you know, it's interesting. When we're desperate, we will go and deal with, we will invite all kinds of superstition in our lives. When we're desperate to get to take the pain away, we'll get the Ouija board, we'll get like whatever to literally say, just whoever can take the pain away, that's who we will cast our lot with. And Jesus asked this question. This is a very curious question, and it's a curious question because I think Jesus is trying to raise this man's desire. I think Jesus is trying to see if this man has gotten too comfortable in his sickness. I think Jesus is wanting to know, do you really desire to get better? And so the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am going, another steps down before me." And then Jesus says this, kind of in a similar way that he did the little boy. He said, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." He says, I want you to do something you haven't done in 38 years. Take up your bed. You know, I can only imagine what this man, like, this man just, he stands up, he's rickety, and he's wondering when he takes the first step, will his legs hold? I remember when I broke my ankle back in high school, and when they finally took the cast off, I was afraid to take the first step because I didn't believe that the doctors knew what they were talking about, that after 3 months, my ankle would be better. And so it took me a long, I was still walking on crutches without a cast because I did not believe that my ankle was strong enough to hold it. Then I finally stepped out. And it's like, oh, there it is. I bet this man probably felt the same way. He took up his bed and he walked. Now, John tells us something about this that I thought was interesting, is interesting. He says, now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, wow, congratulations, it's amazing. You are now experiencing Sabbath rest and restoration. Congratulations. Hey, can we take you out to eat? Isn't that what they said? Like, they did not say that. It says, it is the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed and walk. Can you imagine that? This man has been lame for 38 years, and you would think someone would throw him a party. The religious people would throw him a party or something to say, you are actually experiencing what the Sabbath was meant for, restoration and renewal. And the only thing they complain about is their man-made rules. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? I don't know. Now the man said, listen, like I don't know who this was because Jesus had withdrawn. Now, this is between you and us, you and me, right? If you were lame for 38 years and couldn't walk and then were healed, wouldn't you be mildly curious who did it? Wouldn't you kind of ask a few questions? Like, wouldn't you go like looking on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter to find out who this person was who actually gave you your life back? Yeah. This man doesn't do it, which shows the difference between the two stories. One man takes the sign as a sign to deeper discipleship and relationship with Jesus. Another man takes the healing and runs with it. Another man, the man who was lame for 38 years, oh, I'm better. I don't have to keep my promises. Oh, I'm better. I can now live my life. And he misses the deeper point. Verse 14, afterwards Jesus found him in the temple. Now Jesus, this is the second time Jesus found him. Notice that in the first story, the man came to Jesus. The second story, Jesus came to the man twice. First time to heal him. Second time to warn him. Listen to what it says. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. So Jesus is trying his best to bring the two worlds of the physical and the spiritual together. And he tells this man, we don't know what it is, but he implies that the man had done something in his life that led to the consequences of his lameness. And Jesus says, sin no more, lest a worse thing. Now, Jesus, you would think, is talking about a worse thing physically. Notice that, again, like, are you going to make me lame for 50 years? I'm about to die anyway because the average lifespan is 38 years. So this man is probably not, doesn't have very much life left. So Jesus cannot be talking about physical. He is talking about spiritual. The something worse is spiritual separation from Jesus, from God. The something worse is getting the physical healing without the spiritual transformation. The something worse is getting the physical healing, and my pain is now gone, and now I don't know God any better than I did before I started asking him for healing. I've gotten the physical healing, but I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Jesus says, I am giving you the physical sign of healing so that you might know the God behind the physical side of healing. And the God behind the physical healing is the one who loves you. The one who came in a manger. The one who died on the cross. The one who was buried in a grave. And the one who rose again from the grave. That is the God who wants to be known. Now, there's nothing wrong with physical healing, but physical healing is temporary. It is the eternal that Jesus wants more than anything. See, I can be physically healed in this life. Guess what? I am ultimately going to die. What is going to happen to me after I die? The ultimate healing of my soul is when a man or a woman receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. Receive him as Messiah and have life in this life and the one to come in his name. So let me try to bring these two together and make a couple of observations, few observations about physical sickness and then physical healing. And then what we're going to do, our elders and deacons and prayer team leaders, prayer ministers, staff, and others, we're going to actually ask God for the sign of physical healing over you. Okay? So let me make a couple of observations. The first observation is physical sickness is the result of sin. That is universal sin. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, their disobedience released suffering and pain in the world, and some of that suffering is the sickness, either physically and emotionally, we experience today. Now, there are times where our own personal sin, not always, times where our personal sin do lead to the consequences, physical illness consequence, a physical illness consequence. Now, we see this in Scripture. We see this in this passage in John 5, but we also see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 11, I should say, where Paul says, hey, listen, take communion like you really are serious about the body and blood of Jesus. He said, there are people in the congregation at Corinth, the way they're doing communion, and they have beef with people in the congregation, and the way they're doing communion, they're disregarding the body and blood, and that's the reason some of them are sick right now and on the verge of dying. So there are times where our personal deliberate sin do lead to physical consequence. Not always, but it does happen that way. Second observation, physical illness is a great opportunity to ask for the sign of physical healing. Physical illness is a great opportunity for the people of God to make it a culture to say, show us the sign of physical healing in our time. That healing is not just for the pages of the New Testament. Healing is for the people of God today. And we can ask for the physical sign of healing today. I have five people who actually believe that. So that there are some people say, well, isn't that kind of like charismatic? No, that's like the Bible.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That Jesus gives us the physical sign of healing. And what is the purpose of the physical sign of healing? Is so that people might know Jesus as Messiah. I think Jesus wants to be known as Messiah. I think he wants people to have life in his name. So why wouldn't he give us the physical sign of healing so that more people might know him as Messiah?
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
I think as we pray for physical healing, I think we should also ask, because physical healing should lead to spiritual transformation. I think alongside of physical healing, we should ask God, would you please get rid of my anger too?
Amen.
God, while you're getting rid of my cancer, would you please get rid of my jealousy and my envy? God, while you're taking away the pain in my back, can you take away the unforgiveness in my heart?
Yeah. Amen.
I just want the pain to go away. I don't really want to be transformed. Well, Jesus says they go together. I'm going to give you physical healing, but I want it to awaken spiritual transformation. Does this make sense to anybody?
Yes. Amen.
I want it to awaken spiritual transformation. So then, observation about physical healing, that it is, and that's what it is. It points to something greater. And that something greater is knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
It's believing in him. Mm-hmm. So that when you are healed, your whole household will believe.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
When your son is healed, your whole household will believe. We believe that the man, his son, and his entire household are enjoying Jesus right now. We have no record of the man in chapter 5 believing. No record. And maybe he did experience the something worse. So the healing that we're going to pray for, I'm asking God for two results. If you're not a believer in Jesus, and you come forward, we're asking God to bring healing physically to your body so that it may create new belief in Jesus as Messiah. If you're already a believer and you come forward, we're asking God that he would sustain already existing belief in you as he touches your body and he heals. So we're gonna ask you to come forward. If those elders and deacons and wives and staff, as well as prayer team leaders, if you can come forward now, I'm gonna just give a few instructions as these wonderful people who prepared to pray for you come forward. They are going to wear masks for the sake of your comfort. We want to love you well. You don't necessarily have to wear a mask as you come forward. That's just if you feel comfortable doing that, that's fine. For those who are viewing online, BT and Katie will be taking prayer requests in the chat, and they are going to pray for you. Remember, you don't have to be in the room in order for Jesus to heal. Remember, he was 14 miles away, and he just said, your son will live, and the boy was well. So some of you are 12 miles away, 14 miles away, 20 miles away, and we believe the power of Jesus' word that can meet you right where you are. We have individuals here who are, they'll ask questions. Can I lay my hand on your shoulder? If you feel comfortable with that, then that's fine. If not, then we understand that as well. Again, we've been praying. God will heal some people today. Amen. Will he heal everyone we pray for today? I don't know. And that's not doubt. That's just recognizing the sovereign nature of God. If he does, he's good. If he doesn't today, he's good. Because the end is the same. Healing or non-healing should lead to deeper discipleship. A deeper walk with Jesus. And so, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then, as you feel comfortable to come forward, then please come forward. So God, thank you for showing us the sign of healing, giving us the sign of healing, the freedom to pray for the sign of healing, so that we might go deeper, so that new faith might be created in those who don't believe, and sustaining faith might be given to us for those who already believe. I pray that you would awaken faith in us, a new faith, a faith that is confident and contagious. Whether it is crisis faith or not, it's still faith. You want us to grow in our faith. And we pray that this moment would be one of those opportunities. God, make us a church. Give us a culture that believes that you want to show the sign of healing to your people. We love you. We ask right now, in Jesus' name, even the one who healed the little boy and who healed the man who had been lame a lifetime. And we pray that we would not hoard the healing, but that we would use the healing to go deeper and to tell others about you. We pray this in Jesus, in your name. Amen. So as you feel comfortable to come forward, please come forward to the groups that are here. Obviously, spread yourself out. If you say, man, I like the whole social distancing thing, you can do that. That's fine. We believe that God can heal right where you are. So thank you all so much for coming forward. Also, for those of you who are, if you don't come forward, you can still write your request down and drop them in the box outside, and we'll make sure that we're praying for you as well.
All right, friends, we're so thankful that we get to pray with you. And man, just like Marvin said, right? Like, even though Katie and I aren't in the room physically touching you, man, Jesus healed people miles and miles away. Our God is the God over time, space, and distance, and all of that. So we're going to get started here praying, but I would invite you to, as you see prayers pop up, like, feel free to pray at your home for you, for your church family and friends also. So let's get into it.
All right. Yeah. And just continue to put things into the chat, and we'll just keep going back and forth. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are the God who heals, and in the name of Jesus, we just take authority over our over our bodies and just over our minds, and we just pray that you would silence the voice of the enemy in this time, that he would not have opportunity to speak lies to us, but that we would clearly hear your voice in this time. And right now, we just want to pray specifically for all of the people battling COVID right now. There are so many loved ones that are battling COVID. We just pray in the name of Jesus, healing and restoration for their bodies. Bring their bodies back to full health in Jesus' name. We pray for our hospitals and the workers in the hospitals, that you would bring healing to them, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and physical healing as they are worn out and exhausted. We just pray in the name of Jesus that today their healing would flood the hallways of our hospitals and homes, and that your name would be made famous in that healing.
Yeah, Father, I pray for my sister Sherry, says that she needs her joy back. Man, God, I pray that you would restore the fruit of the Spirit that is your joy, that you would be so close to her that, man, whatever is causing her to have a lack of joy, that you would replace it with your Spirit in a way that she just has a tangible smile on her face as we pray, as a weight is lifted off her. I pray that you would be close to her, and that you would restore the joy and happiness that she has in life.
Lord, we pray for Julia. We lift Julia up to you right now. And just thank you for the opportunity that she had to have a hip replacement. Those are long, long time coming for people. And we just pray that even now she would begin to feel her hip just having new strength and new mobility. And as she does the physical therapy, we just pray that each day she would see tangible ways that you are healing and restoring her hip back to full function. And we pray that just this summer and this spring, she would just be able to walk more and more and more and be able to do the activities that bring her joy and delight. And we just pray for her emotional and mental health as well, God. Having a hip replacement, that can be a long, painful process, and we just pray that you would bring peace and joy to her heart today and let her know that she is not alone. She reaches out to so many people online, just in our Facebook group, and just pray that you would bless her today.
Yeah, Father, I pray for Vicky, and I ask that you would heal her of her head cold. I know, man, there's no small thing that we ask for. And I just pray that you would be with her in that you would clear whatever fog she has from her head cold or headaches or, man, exhaustion that comes from that you would heal that and allow her to experience relief this afternoon.
Lord, we lift up Chris to you for her unexplained head and neck pain, and that she's had this for 2 years. It is hard to carry a burden of pain for any length of time, but as days and weeks turn into months and years, it gets even heavier. And I just pray in the name of Jesus in this moment that she would feel a lifting of that pain, a release of that pain. And Father, we just ask that you would draw close to her. Show her a purpose for why she is experiencing this. Reveal to her what the root cause may be. I pray that she has doctors around her that are empathetic and a community around her that is empathetic. And we just pray for your healing. Bring her head and neck back to full health and restoration in your name, Jesus.
Father, we pray for Lori's grandson. Pray, man, that you would be close to that family. I mean, a 7-year-old being sick is hard, and you know that. And Jesus, you went out of your way to heal kids and to be close to them, and I pray that you would be with this family. Even though we're not able to touch and pray over them, we trust that, again, man, you heal over great distance. We pray for this young boy and ask that you would heal him and relieve him of any pain that he's experiencing. And man, I would just ask that you restore excitement and joy for Christmas for him. when kids are sick, that can be something else that's stolen from them. But I just pray that you would be close to him, and as you heal his body, you would also just restore that excitement and joy for Christmas so we can have that to look forward to.
Lord, we pray for Ken and his knee pain. God, we pray that even now his knee would begin to loosen and experience your healing, and pray that those ligaments would be freed up and he would experience your restoration and mobility, and that with each step he takes, he wouldn't step in fear, but he would step in confidence and strength in you. And we pray that you would bring healing to his knee. We pray for Cheryl and her lower back and hip. These pains seem even more intense in winter with the colder weather, and we just pray that with each breath Cheryl takes, she would feel a release in her hip and in her back, and that she would be able to breathe more easily, move more easily. And we pray through all of these situations, God, we pray that you would bring spiritual transformation to us as we go through these challenges, that you would bring about your purpose, and we would give the glory back to you in these healings, God.
Father, join my sister Jessica Riki in prayer and just ask that you would heal her family right now as they're experiencing stomach bugs and issues like that. And I pray that you would be with her husband and her daughters as they go into what could be a fun week off from school and looking forward to Christmas with their family. And I pray that you would restore their bodies so that they can enjoy that and not spend their break sick or tired or unable to host their family, but that you would be able to miraculously heal them this afternoon and into tomorrow, and they would feel better and know that that's from you.
Lord, we pray for Rebecca dealing with chronic health issues. Lord, I just pray that you would breathe new life, lift the burden of exhaustion from those, whether it's pain, that you just bring relief to those. And I just pray that you would reveal the root or multiple roots. We just chronic health issues. We pray for Denise, asking for a prayer for her sister. She lives with pain and needs the Lord's healing, and we lift up Denise right now, and we just pray that you would bring full healing and restoration to her body. Bring it back into full health in your name, Jesus.
Father, I pray for Cece's daughter, and I pray that you would restore her mental health just as much as we've prayed over physical needs. And mental and emotional needs are a serious thing that you can come in and heal and to begin working towards. So whatever her daughter's going through, I pray that you would be with her and her family, and that you would begin to work through some of the mental issues that she's experiencing, that you would restore anything that has been lost, and that if there are any burdens that she's carrying that could be causing this, that you would help lift some of those and ease that weight on her.
Lord, we lift up Linda to you, dealing with arthritis, and says it isn't responding to treatment. And God, we know you don't need the treatment to solve the problem. You work through our medical field and doctors, but you don't need it. You can heal and break that arthritis free and bring mobility back to Linda's joints. And we just pray a lifting of the ache of pain of arthritis. We pray for an increase and restoration of mobility so Linda can do the activities that you have for her to do. We pray that even now she would feel just that release and ligaments moving a little freer. And we pray this in your name, Jesus.
Yeah, Father, man, to stand here and pray in agreement over my church family, I am thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the stories that we're going to hear, because yeah, you have a reputation of being a healer. So, Father, as we continue to pray throughout the afternoon of comments and things that come in as people rewatch this or as we're even closing things now, I pray that you would be with each of us, that you would remind my friends and family that are watching online to take a moment and maybe pray for some of these things that have came in. But yeah, Father, I pray in agreeance with my sister Katie and just in full confidence that you are a God who heals people. You are a God who heals people over great distances. You are a God who heals people over touch. And yeah, we are excited to see how you are going to work through that. So thank you for that today. And it is in your son Jesus' name and his authority that we have offered up these prayers.
Amen. Yeah, guys, we just want to thank you for the opportunity. It's really an honor to be able to pray over you and with you. And, man, just feel this real sense of this isn't something we do for 20, 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. Wow. I cried last service, too. As followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the authority to bring healing to others. So let's not just make this 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. Let's be people who are people of healing and people of peace and bring that to those around us. So, man, just let's do it. Like, what if this Christmas we could bring healing to our friends and family? That would be an incredible testimony. So want to encourage you to be people of healing, and to share your stories in the Facebook group. We would really love to hear from you. You can also email BT and I. We would love to hear. That would just be so encouraging for us as well. So thank you, guys, and have a great week. And we'll hopefully see you Christmas Eve, 2, 4, 6. So we'll see you.